Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
This is Red Film Radio. I'm Samantha Sartori, and today I am at the New York premiere of Intelligent Leaves, and we are here with the director Dan Habib to talk about the movie. Good morning, Dan, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Samantha, for having me.
Intelligent Leaves is an important movie with an important message, not only for the families for children with intellectual disabilities, but for all the people working in education and anyone in the educational system, like students and teachers. And it is also a movie for legislators. They should watch it. Can you talk about the idea for this movie and the collaboration with Chris Cooper and Marianne Leone?
Sure. So thank you again. You know, one of the things that I started working on 5 years ago was this idea that the way our society in America and really internationally perceives intelligence, the idea of intelligence is very small, it's very narrow. And that really affects people with disabilities almost more than anyone. Because my own son, Samuel, is a high school graduate. He's going to college now. He uses a wheelchair and he uses a communication device on his wheelchair to communicate. Just because he uses a wheelchair, people see him as less intelligent. And that's a really damaging obstacle for people with disabilities. So about 10 years ago, I met Chris Cooper and his wife, Marianne Leone Cooper, because they also had a son, Jesse, who passed away about 13 years ago. But Jesse was also a young man with cerebral palsy, like my son. He also used a wheelchair. He also used a communication device. He became a poet, and he mastered Latin, and he went through high school. And they also saw his intelligence as always being questioned. So when I started thinking about a film that would challenge the whole notion of how we see intelligence, I asked Chris to be the narrator, and then we started doing production, and he agreed also to share his own personal story of Jesse. So the film, in part, looks at expanding the way we see intelligence so that people can express themselves through art, through music, through their connections with other people, but it also looks back at the history of IQ testing and some very damaging labels that were put on people that made them excluded from society. And hundreds of thousands of people in this country, in the U.S., ended up being institutionalized, and 60,000 people were forcibly sterilized just because they had a disability. And that's part of our history we need to own up to.
In your movie, you talk about this, the history of IQ tests. Don't you think it's time to develop tools able to detect the abilities of the children instead, in order to provide a better support in education, but for everyone?
Well, those tools actually exist. You know, they're just not being used as widely as they should be. You mentioned earlier the idea that this film could have a big impact for teachers and educators. And in fact, in many schools around the country, like the school that I show, Nair Shahid, one of the subjects of the film in Boston, they are finding ways to reach all children. And they're doing things like differentiating their instruction, changing their instructional methods for different kids to reach them in different ways. They're presenting material auditorially, through video, through reading, through experiences, all so that people like Nair and Mike and Naomi can learn. In fact, Italy has a very excellent reputation around inclusive education internationally. Italy is seen as one of the leaders around inclusive education. So I think that it's not that these tools don't exist. It's that they're innovative. They're not being used as widely as they could be.
Intelligent Leaves is a very difficult topic to talk about. How did you choose the stories to add into the movie? And also how you balance the, let's say, humor with, you know, the most dramatic part of the story of all these children.
Right. So once I had Chris Cooper on board, and he volunteered his time, by the way. It was all no money. It was just something he cared about doing. And his wife also, they both became executive producers. Once I had them on board, I need to find what I would call the paradigm shifters, people that change people's notion of what intelligence can look like, and also show that people with significant intellectual disabilities can go to a regular high school, can go to college, can work. So I've been doing documentary work, both photojournalism and filmmaking for 30 years, and I know the most important thing is finding the right people for the project. So I did a lot of research, and first I met Micah, who is a young man who's going to Syracuse University, one of the top universities in the U.S. He's actually co-teaching classes at Syracuse. He's got a wonderful circle of friends. They go out to the bar. He has a girlfriend, and he was given an IQ of 40 when he was a kid, which is considered like profoundly intellectually disabled, right? So he's a paradigm shifter. And then he was representing college. I wanted to show what it looked like in high school and secondary school. And so I knew of a school in Boston that had a reputation for being one of the most inclusive schools really in the world. And I met the principal, and she introduced me to Nair Shahid, a young man. He's African-American. He has trouble speaking. He has autism. He has some challenging behaviors. But he's a beautiful painter and a very lovely man with a lovely family. So he's a paradigm shifter because he expresses himself so beautifully through art, and we have a lot of his art in the film. And then the third story I wanted to show, which was the hardest to find actually, was somebody who is transitioning from what we call a sheltered workshop. And what that means is people working in a segregated environment just with people with disabilities, getting paid less than the minimum wage. So sometimes just $1, $2 an hour to do very menial tasks. Naomi in high school, her high school had a sheltered workshop in the high school. They were forcing students to do this type of work for little or no money. Thankfully, the U.S. Department of Justice, the federal government, sued Rhode Island and shut down these sheltered workshops, and now everyone's transitioning to paid employment. So I was able to show her transition into employment. And so between those three stories being woven around Chris Cooper's very personal narrative and the historical narrative, that's what really makes up the film.
And how long all this process took? Because obviously it's a lifetime for you, I guess, because, you know, like you live in your own life, you know, this problem. But for create this movie?
Sure. Every movie I do takes 3 to 4 years. This is my third feature-length movie. And a lot of it is just pre-production, just finding the right subjects, raising the money. You know, we're independent filmmakers, have to work a lot of hard to raise money. And then getting to know the subjects. And then I filmed Nair. I started filming Nair his freshman year in high school, so his ninth grade year, his first year of high school, and then finished his senior year, his 12th grade. So that was almost 3 years just filming Nair and Micah. Naomi was about a year and a half. And then I found a wonderful editor, James Rutenbeck. We worked together for over a year editing the film. And I also was able to get the music of Manas Yahu, who's a pretty famous international artist. I know his mother, and I've met Manas Yahu, and he donated the use of his music. So his music is in the film. So creating a really strong team is also a big part of the project. So about 4 years it took me to get it done.
What do you think is the next step in order to create more awareness and systematic welcoming for children with intellectual disabilities?
I'm a big believer in inclusion in all levels of society, inclusive education, so people with disabilities in regular schools, inclusive higher education, college and university, and also employment. And I think it's not just good for the people with disabilities, although we know through research, through 30 years of research in this country and internationally, that students with disabilities who are included in regular classes will have better outcomes in terms of employment, in terms of their social lives, their higher education, their behavior, their communication, everything. So the research is there. But I also wanted to show that that continues on into employment and into the community. But I think it helps not just the people with disabilities, but all their peers, all the other people, because we should live in a diverse world. You know, we talk about diversity by race, by ethnicity, by sexual orientation, but we forget often about disability. And in fact, there's many movements around the world where they're trying to almost eliminate disability or cure it. Now, like Down syndrome, there's a lot of tests now that can actually eliminate it. Now, I, of course, want my child and other children to be healthy, but I want them to exist as they are. I believe that they're contributing a lot just the way they are. They don't need to be changed or fixed. And I think when you live in that kind of diverse society, everyone benefits because we become more full and complete emotional human beings.
How big is the problem in the United States, and which are the options for families with children with intellectual disabilities?
Yeah, I mean, nobody is given a book when your child is born with a disability saying, here's how you navigate the world. And no matter where you live, I don't think that book exists. And listen, the United States has grown a lot, but it has so much more improvement and to go, as does countries all around the world. Now, of course, in some countries, you're going to find that people with intellectual disabilities are institutionalized or just living in awful conditions, just the way they were for many years in the United States. And even in some places in the U.S., people are still in institutions, in these big buildings, just grouped together in very difficult conditions. But I think that the opportunity often really starts at the school system. Because if a parent has a child with a disability and the school system in their community says, your child is welcome here, your child can be included, your child can get a regular education, your child can graduate, and they can make friends, and they can go to college, then that parent has a very clear pathway for inclusion and for a full life. If the school district, like unfortunately many school districts in this country and others, say, oh, your child needs to be in a different school or a different classroom and segregated, then that parent has a much smaller view of that child's future, a much more narrow view. So really, a lot of my work is on opening up systems and creating more inclusive education and more inclusive pathways in education, in employment, in relationships. So, you know, I think that really parent advocacy is what changes things more than anything. And then self-advocacy, people like Micah and Nair and Naomi speaking for themselves, that's what opens up doors. That's what changes policy and practice across the country and internationally.
The movie is opening in New York, September 21st. Do you have any other release date for the movie?
Yeah, so in October, we're going today is the New York theatrical release, September 21st. Then I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. next week for a big event at the National Press Club, and we're doing a congressional briefing on employment issues around disability on Capitol Hill in D.C. And then in October, it's playing all over the country. There's theatrical screenings and conferences and universities. Hundreds all over the country are showing in October and then beyond. And then we're working right now towards a national broadcast, a television broadcast. We also are starting to talk more about international distribution and release. And our website, intelligentlives.org, and our Facebook group will have all that information about our release. But we have really excited that it's already reaching tens of thousands of people.
You can also find in our page all the link for the release dates and the link for the movie. Thanks, Dan, for your beautiful movie, and thanks for being with us today. Good luck for the movie. From the New York premiere of Intelligent Leaves, I'm Samantha Sartori, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.